The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. Plenty of action from round nine for us to talk about, including Brendan Bolton. He is not looking good at the moment at the Blues after an almost 100-point loss to the GWS Giants. We're going to ask what the better mark of the round was. Was it Ryan or Stewart? Why is Sydney bothering to win when they're not going to make finals? Will the Pies play an entire game of footy for once this season? Brisbane versus Adelaide, the biggest off-Broadway classic of the year. And, of course, Flywire Doors. But, as always, we are going to kick off with the Legend of the Week. Before I do that, though, I will introduce Ethan Meldrum.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate. And Rudy Edsel. As I introduce you, Rudy, who is this week's Legend of the Week?
Well, I was going to give it to Ethan to do, but I'll go. Diesel Williams.
Gee, thanks, Rudy.
Is our Legend of the Week. Ethan, please explain why.
So Friday night, live from Judcorp, Diesel Williams was a special guest, was meant to rock up at 7:30, rocked up at 7:05, couldn't hide him in the stairwell for 25 minutes, so decided to just put him on air. The way he warmed into that show was phenomenal. Of course, you know, all the Friday Huddle boys have, you know, their ego and their confidence, and Diesel walked in, you know, thinking he was on AM for a minute, and then he went nuts.
He took them all down.
He took them all down, asked Dennis Cometti if he puts on the centimetre perfect line, if he puts on his own voice. Said if he had Juddy Speed, he would have won the Brandlow every single year. He was phenomenal. If you haven't heard the chat, please listen back.
Yes, there'll be a special podcast today on the Triple M Footy feeds, I think.
Three votes, Diesel.
Yeah, three votes, Diesel. Not looking so good for his former club, Carlton, though, is it? They got hounded by GWS.
It hasn't looked good at his former club, Carlton, since pretty much he was at his former club, Carlton.
Yeah,
they have been irrelevant and shit since 2000.
Yep.
Like, literally, it's been 19 years.
Yeah, that's pretty much accurate. Irrelevant and shit. But again,
which I will say, it is sad for the game, because you need a good, strong Carlton. You want their fans arrogant. Well, I think AFL footy is at its best when Carlton fans are like swaggering down Lygon Street, sipping their piccolos and just looking at people knowing their football club is better than them.
They're just picking out fruit from the fruit vendor and like rolling it up their arm and then bouncing it off the inside of their forearm back into their front hand.
Doing that and then shining it on their t-shirt. Like, we need a good Carlton and we haven't had it since Ethan's been alive, essentially.
Yeah. I don't know a good Carlton.
Yeah.
I know a good Nick Diagon, but that was, you know, that was a flash in the pan.
So almost 100-point loss. It was just as good as a 100-point loss to the Giants on the weekend. They were never winning that game. No. They were always going to lose by 60 points plus, but it was the fact that kicked two goals for the first half and just never really looked interested.
Part of me was hoping GWS would go full 186 on them.
Yeah, I thought 150 really was on the cards. Yeah, it really looked like it.
Can you explain 186 to definitely not me?
No.
Okay.
Not with a Geelong supporter in the room?
Yeah, he's talking about the time we beat him by 31 points down at Cadinia. 31 goals, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah. 31 points would have been nice, but yeah.
Big day, big day. But at what point do the Heat, when does Bolton go? Because it's surely becoming a question of when, not if.
Well, it won't be pre-buy, and I'm assuming he'll probably last until the end of the year, where they'll go, okay, you know, it hasn't worked out. You've been with us now for, it would be four complete seasons.
Four seasons, yeah.
You know, and we haven't really, well, if they finish last, which they probably will, and have to give up pick one to Adelaide, they're in a probably worse position than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They were as bad as I've seen a footy team be just about last year. And then this year, they're 1-8 from 9.
But the thing is, they do this. You know, they were up against North Melbourne, who were on the boil and are still pretty shit. But that one game against Carlton, they put them to the sword.
Yeah.
Everyone expected Carlton to go all right against them. They didn't. They followed that up with a really good performance against Collingwood. And then they've backed that up with a near 100-point loss to the Giants. So what they're going to do this weekend, predictably, is put up a really good performance against St Kilda and lose. But Bolton will be safe because they almost won a game.
You can almost write Bolton's press conference. Oh, we're really happy with the with the effort put in. You know, we're not really looking at the win-loss column.
Well, you have to. Your fans are. Your fans are.
Yeah.
Like, you've got some good young players coming through. Everyone knows Patrick Cripps is going to be your gun. Harry McKay's come on this year. Zach Fisher looks really good. But what else have they got? Yes, they've been decimated by injuries. Sam Doherty's been a massive loss the last 2 years. Cade Simpson's out at the moment. Now you got Mark Murphy with ribs. Cruiser's in and out of the team because he's injured all the time. But they're just excuses. Richmond have so many injuries. Collingwood have had so many injuries over the last couple of years. Teams have injuries, but they still find ways to win games.
Western Bulldogs
Carlton
in 2016
don't
had everyone
have that.
They've got Liam Stocker.
I just don't.
They haven't got pick one.
I didn't realise you were so passionate about this, right?
I have a lot of Carlton friends, and they still back it up and go to games, even though they know they're going to get flogged week in, week out. They're running out of excuses to rock up to Marvel Stadium, to MCG, to watch that team.
Mm.
Soon, there'll be no one there. I did the game Carlton North Melbourne. It was their home game. They turned up. There was about 40,000 there. When Liam Jones went down in the third quarter, they all kind of left. Like I said to you, unless they start winning games, which might mean Brendan Bolton has to go, that fan base is going to be decimated.
They've got their annual win against Essendon coming up in a couple of weeks. So that'll bring some hope.
We've wasted too much time on a club that is no longer relevant in the AFL.
Oh, bang.
So can we please move on? We want to talk about, obviously, Tom Stewart and Liam Ryan.
Yeah. Something I didn't notice while I was writing this rundown. Both have two first names. There you go. That's a crazy little stat for you. Which was the better mark, do you guys reckon?
Well, do you want to have a listen to how Brian Taylor called Liam Ryan?
He called the pants off.
Because he called the pants off it for seven.
Getting back long and deep, I think it's Vardy. He now leads up at Kennedy. That's ignored. Liam Ryan saying, kick it my way. I want to jump over the pack, and here he comes. Oh, Ryan!
Such a good call.
Unbelievable call from BT.
Yeah.
It was sensational. This is how we called it on Triple M, which is equally as good, but we didn't call it.
And a few of those forwards are streaming towards goal. Kennedy, Daddy'll get the distance, goes long, right to the goal square. Run! Oh! He's taken the mark of the year. Forget about the competition. Liam Ryan has climbed on Max Gorn and taken a miraculous mark.
Any other game in the history of the AFL football league, that is the best call of that mark.
Yeah.
But BT beat it just by calling it, saying Liam Ryan's going to go for this.
Sorry, it was
unbelievable. But Ethan, you can go first on this, but I will give you my opinion before that. If that makes any sense.
I'm not going first.
Liam Ryan's mark is mark of the year. It was unbelievable watching it live. I saw the Tom Stewart one live in the flesh, and Liam Ryan's is still better than that.
Now, I think you guys are jumping the gun a little bit. Dan McKenzie was also nominated for mark of the year. There are three people in this race.
Well, yeah, nominated for mark of the round.
Did you hear that, two and a half seconds of silence?
Yeah.
That was the reaction to that.
I'd love to get behind Tommy Stewart's mark. I think it's the more pure mark because of the way he just, stands on...
It was the more Gary Moorcroft-esque.
Yeah, he stands on his head and then just gets a bit taller and then hops down. Also, the theatrics after it.
You saw it at the game, didn't you?
Yeah, so, he had that big Cheshire Cat grin, and that's because he said after the game it was because Zach Tui and Connor McKenna.
Yep.
Is that the...
Mark O'Connor
was applauding, and he's like, he was laughing at that. But then he kicked the ball, and you didn't catch it on the TV screens. As he's kicked the ball, I think a lateral sort of inside defensive 50 kick, which was pretty safe.
Yeah.
He's just turned to the crowd and bowed.
He's given the big thank you very much.
Yeah.
The Warren Treadray.
Yes. Yeah, it was amazing.
He's such a local footy player. It's amazing.
He's sensational. Football, Tom Stewart.
He makes you a bit weak at the knees, doesn't he, Ramsey?
Yeah, I do have a bit of a man crush on Tom Stewart.
How could you not?
He looks, besides Grime Myers, he's the most Geelong looking man I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just that ratty blonde mustache and the long hair, tats.
Yeah.
Geelong weren't the only club onto him back then. I've heard that other clubs approached Tom Stewart around the time that he eventually came into the AFL, and he was like, I just want to sort of stick around here and play local footy. And then Matty Scarlett was like, how about you come play for Geelong? He's like, you give it a crack.
Yeah. He didn't want to go anywhere but Geelong.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But, we'll go around. Mine's Liam Ryan, of course.
Yeah, it's got to be Liam Ryan.
Liam Ryan?
Yeah, it's Liam Ryan.
Liam Ryan.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tommy.
Sorry, Tommy. Great mark.
I did vote for Tom Stewart. Yeah, out of a sense of patriotism, I suppose. Yeah,
and then you just open up your duffel coat and kiss your Geelong badge.
Kiss my Grime Myers badge, my Gary Rowan badge.
You want to bring this to the table, Sydney.
Why are they bothering to win? Just bottom out.
Mm.
Just bottom out. They're not going to make finals. If they do make finals, they're not going to make any impact on finals. Well, I don't understand why they're...
They did their best to lose that game in the last quarter.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just embrace it, though. Just embrace the being crap. get some decent picks in, and be exciting, like be interesting. When was the last time like at Sydney really interested you as a club?
Oh, never.
Well, I mean, not never for me, but it's but
Nick
maybe
Davis.
Some, yeah, yeah.
That, look, sorry, there's Rich. there's two arguments to the contrary of that. Rudy, is that
yeah.
one, I mean, we've seen with the poor crowds in Sydney this year that they simply can't afford as a club and as a league in Sydney to be an average team.
Yeah, no, they're fair weather fans up there.
They are fair weather fans. Also, if there's a club outside of Victoria that doesn't need a number one, number two, number three, number four, number five draft pick, it would be Sydney with their academy.
Yeah,
they can
enough.
Get players like Isaac Heaney, who could have been number one draft pick, for less than the number one pick. So
that's true.
I don't think they need to 100% completely tank, or we're not allowed to use that word, so bottom out. and I think that's why. They're
yeah.
still trying to win games. But
fair
you
enough.
Could physically see like your Luke Parkers, your Josh Kennedys, and your Kieran Jacks physically labouring.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the first time, we saw a little bit last year, but this is the first time you've gone, I reckon this mob is... done.
Is done, yeah. Kieran Jack is the physical manifestation of Sydney in that sense.
Hey, they had a great run.
They did, yeah, definitely. I fully got around them winning that 2012 grand final. That was one of the best grand finals I've ever watched.
They still have some great young players on George Hewitt.
Yeah.
He looks
Hewitt's been unreal this
gun.
Year.
Mm. Yeah. Callum Mills, he's good. Isaac Heaney.
I tell you who I really like.
Papley.
Papley. Yeah, I was gonna bring
Papley's
him up. I've watched him live a couple of times this year and he's actually quite exciting. So.
It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. Collingwood, they won again on the weekend, basically with the final quarter blitzkrieg for the second week in a row.
Yeah.
And it's a hallmark of their 2019 season, maybe take away the Brisbane game, where they've won, I think, six on the trot now of basically playing 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of footy.
Yeah, they're just not, they're like pretty much just deciding when to flick the switch and then they're going, pushing teams away and moving on.
West Coast are similar.
West Coast are very similar.
Yeah.
West Coast are just going.
And I reckon it's because they started late. So every team had that longer extended break. Collingwood and West Coast had a further 3-4 weeks off. So I reckon after the bye, you might see Collingwood and West Coast start to torch teams.
Yeah, fair enough. I think the only thing I'd say is that you sometimes get out of the habit of actually playing four quarters of footy. I watched it with the Cats for a few years where they would win games. A couple of years before that, they'd win games in 20 minutes of footy. And then once it comes to a final, you can't just decide to go.
Mm.
So it's something to keep an eye on with the Pies and Eagles.
Yeah, that's the difference between Collingwood and West Coast. Collingwood are cruising because they are blitzing teams in, you know, third and fourth quarter or the first quarter, whenever. West Coast are just going because they don't have that capability at the moment.
Some of them look visibly hungover, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they're 6-3, but they haven't really put a team away this year. They've had some okay wins and they've had some...
They're interesting to me, West Coast, because they're so, like, limited, but they have the tools that mean they're never out of a game of footy. And then they're waiting on Nick Nat to come back. So you can never rule them out. They might still, like, they might look real creaky all year and just win the flag again.
Mm. Yeah, you never know.
An off-Broadway game on Saturday was the Brisbane versus Adelaide match.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the final moments of that game, this is how it sounded.
Go inside forward 50 again, the Crows. Texan, got it! Campbell on the top, and he's got three! Wow! Oh, there's a song you would not read about it! 1 point the diff, and it goes to the Lions. They win it by the barest of margins.
Incredible game of footy. It was just end-to-end. Like the whole way through, pretty much, and every time a team sort of snuck away, you thought Brisbane had it absolutely won. They were 26 points up in the fourth quarter or something like that.
Yeah, they were four goals clear.
Yeah, four goals clear. You thought they had it won, and then Adelaide just went bang, bang, bang. Adelaide, who haven't really looked dynamic,
no,
up forward, but then yeah, crazy.
That's my point. Anyone who has ever whinged about footy this year, about it being low scoring, boring, shit to watch, watch a Brisbane game.
Yeah,
they go for it. They can see goals. Fine, fair enough, but they're the best team to watch in the cup.
Are you saying that they're single-handedly saving footy?
Yes, they are.
Well,
I would say that actually is a big call.
It's a shame only 15,000.
Brisbane Lions, who currently sit outside of the top eight, are single-handedly saving the game of football.
They're fifth.
Are they?
Yeah.
The Lions?
Yeah.
Where am I?
Yeah, you're outside of the top eight right now, mate. But yeah,
won't see you in September, right?
No, you won't.
But there was an absolute ripper, and it just seemed like no one was talking about it. At the same time,
the AFL does the best to hide the Queensland games away every week, though.
Yeah, well, you can understand why over the past few years of footy, but it was just an absolute like barnstormer to watch, and the Crows got so close. One thing I don't understand is how did the siren go before there was the like? Surely time goes off when Betts kicks the goal. How does the siren go before it gets back to
the siren goes off as soon as the goal umpire signals. So if it takes 2 seconds for the goal umpire to get back to his position,
right,
then it'll take 2 seconds.
Think the field umpire blows a whistle or something, or signals and goes back to the centre. That's when the time stops.
Fair enough. Nice to see Tex Walker kick a couple of goals. Like, I know there's, you know, he gets criticised a lot, but the game of footy is better when Tex Walker is up and about.
Huge problem for Adelaide that he's played a lot better without Josh Jenkins in the side.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a problem for Adelaide.
Yeah. Well, Jenkins kicked 6 in the Sandford on the weekend. He'll be looking to knock the door down to come back.
This is a Josh Jenkins on what? However much money he's on being stuck in the sand for, because Tex Walker needs to play well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tex is the captain. He's the co-captain, isn't he?
Yeah.
And like I said, footy looks better. He does that, has that Wayne Carey like lead swagger. Right up the guts. Like you don't see that much anymore. That Jonathan Brown was like that too. That really like lead straight up the middle and then like roost goals from 55. Turn around and get around, blokes.
Right, we need to wrap this up for another week. Of course, we're going to finish with Fly Wire Doors. Very similar to, but we didn't steal it from, Damien Barrett's Sliding Doors.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to go a very simple, easy one here. It is Sir Doug Nicholls.
Yep.
Round, which is the Indigenous round of the AFL. All the jumpers look sensational. And I will say this. If Eddie Betts takes the field, then Eddie Betts will once again kick goal of the year or take mark of the year in Indigenous round like he's done forever.
you can actually almost picture it, like him like slapping his chest, turning around to the crowd, giving him the big ones. Yeah.
Eddie's pocket.
Just standing on the boundary, sees Will Schofield in front of him. He's like, no.
I've got you.
How good is it that the AFL, whether or not they've manufactured it or it's just happened, that we're going to have Eddie Betts and Liam Ryan in the same game on Indigenous round, and Willy Rioli.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be mint. I can't wait. Yeah. Indigenous round's always one of my favourites. You just get the highlights just look so much better in those Guernseys.
Mm. Yeah, they do. My Fly Wire Doors, if I want to lock one big man into my All-Australian team, then it is Mark Blitzavs.
What?
I'm having that.
Brodie Grundy?
I'm having that.
Yeah, I'm doing it for the look on your face.
What? Explain yourself, young man.
Mark Blitzavs won the best and fairest last year. He is the best key back in the competition. Has not been beaten this year, save for maybe 5 minutes against Ben Brown on the weekend before.
Yep.
Incredible key defender. He's the All-Australian fullback impending.
Mm. Okay. I like it. Big call.
No.
Okay.
Because it's not Brodie Grundy.
Well, he already had one. Don't be greedy.
Yeah. All right, my Fly Wire Doors this week. If GWS can't beat a hapless Melbourne who are right for the picking on the MCG, then they may never win on the MCG. Or not, never in 2019.
Yeah. I'll give that for you.
All right. Thanks, Raps.
What are your plans?
I look forward to hearing that comeback when they win the flag.
What are your plans for September? Have you booked a holiday yet, Ethan? Or?
Oh, hang on.
Just getting the Range Rover up to Mount Buller.
End of financial year sales come on next month. I'll probably book something for September if I was a Melbourne fan. And that's been another Triple M Footy Fan Podcast for round 9.
They won 2 finals last year.
Just a crispy one, man. A little drive-by. We'll be back, of course, next Tuesday talking everything round 10. And make sure you keep it locked in. The Triple M starting Friday night. Sydney versus Collingwood.
Oh boy.
We're Triple M Rucks Funny. I've always wanted to do that. Catch you later.